GoSet Magazine.
G'day, I'm James Valentine. We're looking back at the life and times of GoSet Magazine. Today we'll feature some of the artists who Ian Meldrum helped promote through his connection with GoSet, which in turn also helped his own career. Ronnie Charles, former member of 60s band The Group, recalls Ian's early days at GoSet.
He just started hanging out with the boys and got interested, and he got involved in this paper at about the same time I joined the group. He was only been doing it about 3 months, I think, at that stage in 66. I know the boys in the old group always referred to him as the old mole, you know, and maybe mole and molly kind of just seemed like a natural thing.
What kind of coverage did the group get in GoSet?
Very good coverage. I guess thanks to Ian at that stage, when Brian Cadd and I joined the old group and it changed and became the group that was to make the big hits and travel overseas, GoSet were very supportive of the band and we got some very good spreads because it was a little while before our first record came out. GoSet was very important to the group because we needed to get our faces out there and they gave us very good coverage. Such a lovely way that you say
goodnight. Ian Meldrum was a good networker and very soon got to know a lot of people in the music industry through his connections with the group.
The group were a big working band and I think he came in touch with these people and he probably did know a couple of them, but he wasn't actively involved in the media in those days, no. He was working for GoSet and very, very interested in taking the paper up into a much more progressive cutting-edge music mag.
In 1967, the group won the Hoadley's Battle of the Sounds, first prize being a trip to London to play gigs and record. Ian Meldrum went along with them, reporting for GoSet. His career also began to branch out, as he recalls from a 1971 interview.
I enjoyed managing. I enjoyed managing and record producing way back with Somebody's Image and the group. That sort of gave me my basic background in both management and record production, that when I got back from London in 68, I was ready to sort of tackle something like Russell Morris and The Real Thing and all this bit, you know.
Russell Morris, who in 1966 headed up the band Somebody's Image, remembers GoSet when it started.
I would read it religiously every week to see which bands they were talking about and thinking, gee, I'd love to be lucky enough to get a story in there. Just one story, I'd be satisfied. It'd be just fantastic. I was always reading about the Loved Ones and what they were doing and all the different bands, the group and all that. I was in awe of GoSet when I first started, not knowing that in the future I would end up being able to walk the hallowed halls anytime I wanted, just wander in the front door and search around for a cup of coffee and shoot the breeze with people.
An old schoolmate of mine, Russell Morris's band, were out there and they were playing supports for us. I introduced Ian to Russell. That was really the beginning of Russell and Ian's involvement together, both with his band Somebody's Image and their first record Hush, and then later on when the group returned from England, making The Real Thing, which of course was the group's last recording.
Russell brought a copy of The Real Thing, hot off the press, into the GoSet offices in February 1969.
3 minutes of the song have passed and by this time the whole office block was huddled around the record player. At this stage, I'm beginning to think that someone has slipped an LSD sugar cube into my coffee.
Do you like it?
I love it. It's just unbelievable. But what do you think about it?
Personally, I like it very much. I only hope that it isn't too different, that it will frighten the public.
I did ask Russell one more question. Did he take drugs?
Don't be outrageous.
So what did GoSet's record reviewer say?
Out of a dismal local recording scene emerges the best produced and performed local single of all time. Russell Morris's first solo effort, I'm the Real Thing. Credit must go to Ian Meldrum's production and the instrumentation by the group. There'll be no more excuses for inferior stuff now. we have our yardstick.
Go Set and radio stations picked up on and promoted the record in a big way.
Yeah, well, with The Real Thing, yeah, it became a phenomenon. And then it was front pages all the time, pin-ups and things like that. But that always happens when something becomes really big.
So what does Russell think of performing live?
I love it now. I hated it at times back then. I hated performing. I hated everything. But I had that horrible insecurity that people only talk about and never really mention. I always had that insecurity thinking that, gee, people are going to find out I'm a fake and I'm going to be run out of this business on a bloody plank, tarred and feathered. And I was always terrified that I wasn't good enough. Before I'd go on stage sometimes, I had a compulsion to run out and jump in the car and drive off and not face it. I was so scared.
Russell went on to have 4 more top 10 hits in Australia. From the group, Brian Cadd went on to a successful career as one of Australia's most prolific songwriters during the 1970s. On the wings of an eagle, I find a... How important was Go Set to Russell Morris's career?
Oh, it was instrumental. It really was. It was instrumental in a lot of careers in those days because there was a big population out there that wanted to buy records and wanted the information. They were hungry for it. And Go Set was that avenue that kids could actually read about a new group and then go and see them. Go Set was just one of those papers that just produced it. And they produced a lot of people that they made into stars, you know.
Next time we meet, we'll have a look at Go Set's Teenage Agony Aunt column. Look forward to your company then.